Blog Talk Radio. Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. Some technical difficulties this morning, so we had to call in rather than use the Direct Connect feature. We apologize to those of you who are listening, but here we are. We are back.
Well, good.
Yay.
Always some technical problems, huh?
Seems like there's always some technical problems. The site was down. I wasn't able to get on Firefox today, so I don't know what's going on. But then we got, you know, once I got on, we got knocked off, but like I said, we're back, and we're discussing psychological therapy and its effect on karma, and of course, taking calls for readings. 914-338-0164 is the listener line. As always, we invite you to join us on social media, et cetera, et cetera. Those links are or can be found. Those links can be found under our Blog Talk Radio profile, and of course, people can follow us on Blog Talk Radio as well if they want to follow our show schedule and things like that. So, psychological therapy and its effect on karma. It's an interesting topic because, well, you know, the traditional method of psychological therapy doesn't really factor in karma. But when you're a psychic, you've had psychological training, as you yourself have, Neil. They're intertwined.
Well, karma can be thrown around as a loose term, and it's not a clinical term,
right?
But it can be thrown around as a loose term in terms of psychological counseling. When we're dealing with psychological counseling, we're basically dealing with the psyche, the mind, the personality, the emotional state, but everything's on the immediate stage. Most psychologists don't go into the soul. We don't deal with the soul.
Right. It's just the what's going on in the earthly.
In the earthly energy,
right.
The body and the mind and the personality and the emotional state and the development of the individual. We might think of the soul when we're doing psychological counseling. We might think of the soul in terms of the feelings and the passions and things like that. But we don't consider basically in a clinical aspect, the soul as something that's journeying through time, coming back over and over again, producing karma. You'd have to get more into the parapsychologists or the advanced psychology in terms of cosmic consciousness and psychology to go to those interpretations. Basically, when you're dealing with the psychology and therapy, you're dealing with the outreach of the soul, meaning the personality, the mind, the spirit of a person's life in relation to their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you have different aspects of how psychology and therapy intermix. You can either have a behavioral aspect of psychology, which is induced by the cause and effect of the environment, or you can have a deeper psychological analysis of a person's mind in terms of their upbringing, their connection with their parents, things like that. And they all kind of get mixed up together.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with dealing with psychology, because I was just dealing with a client on this basis. There's nothing, it's very helpful to deal with the psyche and the mind and to go through, quote, clinical therapy, even if you're going to deal with the psychology of the soul or the psychology of karma, psychology of past lives, the psychology of our chakras, and how we relate to the universe in terms of being an actual entity that has traveled through the universe through previous past lives, or being an inhabitant of the astral realm, where literally you're not using it as a metaphor, but you're using it as a real place, a real time, and that your soul has been there, has conducted activities there, has learned things there, have been in classrooms there, have come back to the earth repeatedly to work out the issues of the soul on an earthly level. Now, that's not something that really psychology will incorporate unless they're using it as a dynamic of trying to incorporate it into the thinking of the individual psyche. Some therapists may entertain the idea that, okay, we'll use that as a construct, but we're not going to actually believe it. We'll just use it as a method of therapy. Well, when you're dealing with, of course, part of the psyche of the soul is the psyche of the body, the brain, and we have to connect the two, since they're going to be living together. It's like you have a cat and a dog in one room, and you're going to have to accept the fact that they've got to kind of get along. So there's a way for the body and the psyche of the body and the psyche of the soul to get along, but you're going to take a different approach to that in a therapeutic dynamic. So for those of you who are seeking to find a way to address your soul through psychological therapy, that can be beneficial. I think it can relieve a lot of the energy that is down deep in the soul. So it's a way of connecting to that.
But
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to ask, can't being immersing yourself in karmic issues be detrimental to removing karma, dwelling on the past? I mean, I'm not saying that psychological therapy doesn't have its value, but there's also a point where it can be, I think, damaging or keep someone stuck in their old patterns.
Psychological therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. You can stagnate in the element of a psychological dynamic and use that as the overall attitude of your life and rely on that as a tendency to give you an excuse for your behavior. Sure, you can. I mean, breaking through the psyche is a task. You explore your past, your immediate past, and you try to understand it and come to grips with it and formulate a healthy psyche from that premise. Or you go a step further and say, gee, what brought me to this stage? Why was I born into the family I was born into? Where did I come from before this? Some people don't bother with that. They don't care. They just say, look, what happened in the past, if I have a past life, I don't know about it. You know, I just have to deal with what I've got. I'm going to deal with what I have on the surface.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that, because it's a problem-solving zone. You're problem solving no matter what you do.
Right. But I know in some cases, Neil, you, when you're dealing with a client, will go back into the past to try to extract karma. But there's also times where you will say, don't think about this, move forward.
Yeah.
Quit living in the past. So it depends on the case and what part of the psyche you're dealing with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a progressive psychic. I believe in it. I have an investigative mind. So if I stop at the moment of birth, I'm robbing myself of my consciousness or my awareness that there's something that happens before birth, and that I can't produce an empirical diagram of that. I can't prove that, but I can testify in terms of my own feelings, my experiences, what I've learned, what I've gathered in my encounters with clients, and just in the patterns of my own thinking, that I believe that we've had a pre-existence. And my instrument, my probing device, is the third eye. So I go into the third eye and I start to counsel people in relation not just to the body and soul or the body and the mind, but the soul, the spirit, I go deeper and I try to figure out what brought a person to the present stage. And I use current information, meaning what's available to the person's consciousness, as a means psychically to connect to something that may have happened deeper in time.
Let me ask you this. If a person is closer to transcendence, and I'm not talking about the transcendence, you know, to the next master number, I'm talking about transcending off the planet, are you less inclined to stay on karmic issues, to focus on karmic issues for the duration of the therapeutic relationship?
Well, if it's hampering or compromising the performance of that journey towards that transcendence, yes. I'm not going to say your car needs a better form of gas if there's something wrong with the engine. If there's something wrong with the psyche in terms of a depth that
fit.
I feel, yes,
right.
I may try to go to the path of least effort and see if it can be resolved on a purely dynamic physical stage, meaning an earth stage. But if there's problems ensuring that are not being satisfied, there's no accomplishment there, then you sometimes have to go deeper into a past life regression and hopefully unravel the imagination from the reality of going into such a zone, because one of the hazards of going into a past life regression is that your imagination takes over and you take that as truth.
Right.
And it is no point in fantasizing something. I mean, I think fantasies can help us, but they don't really lead necessarily to a truthful premise. And so to get to that truthful premise, you have to sometimes use a different tool in the psyche. I mean, therapists don't really work with tools. I mean, some of them do, but basically what they're working with is the survey of the mind and the survey of communication
exactly.
And the psyche of a person's how they behave on the planet. They're using that. So there's not really any toolkit for that except the process of putting theory into action and then applying it. If you go deeper than that, imagine you're not doing that with the brain. The brain has nothing to do with it. Now you're probing into the soul and the spirit of a human being. So you're getting into that more humanistic, metaphysical stage of interpretation of behavior, and you're going into something much, much deeper, which may enlighten the client or the patient by saying, my God, you came up with that when you were delving into a so-called past life scenario, and it connects to me so powerfully that I want to investigate that. Well, now we get into a deeper journey of the psyche in terms of investigating what happened in that past life to bring about the current theater.
So that can help release karma, but isn't... Go ahead.
No, yeah.
So isn't there a point, though, that... So looking back into past life or looking back into the current existence perpetuates.
It can, unless you look at the absolute breadth of your life. Mm-hmm. If you look at the absolute breadth of your life, what you did in the past relates to what you're doing now. But you don't have to get fixated in the past. It's circular. It's everything involved. I mean, if we were to negate our past, we might also perhaps negate our sense of wonder, curiosity, learning, feeling that experience of when we first smelt something or tasted something.
So it's about a balance. It's about a balance just as everything is about balance.
It's about a balance in terms of enrichment, mm-hmm. in terms of freshness. So I think that to become fixated, you can get a feel for people who are fixated in the past and they're stuck, as opposed to people who visit the past and are enriched.
Or even are fixated on their present circumstances, and that's a result of the past. And that has to be cleared, you know,
sure.
Rather than someone who moves forward and takes life with a new breath on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have some of our great imaginary works, Alice in Wonderland and some of the great childlike paintings of Moreau. We wouldn't have these things.
Believer. Okay.
If we didn't have that childlike sense of wonder in our connection. Even some of our greatest composers talked about deeply the idea of childhood. Even Schubert did a childhood memory composition. People delved back, Ravel did nursery rhymes. The attitude, and this goes across the whole stage, Dr. Seuss, I mean, what it, you have to connect. Sometimes you connect to your childhood, sometimes you connect
right,
to imagination.
But it's about whether that's it's the healthy connection rather than an unhealthy connection.
Yeah. And of course, therapy is valuable. I think it's absolutely valuable for the immediate stage. We can't get past it. You need to deal with the mind and the psyche, the personality. But I find it so fascinating to challenge the curtain of time, to look behind our first initial physical breath, and to discover what journeys the soul and the spirit may. Of course, this is nothing new. It's a deep-rooted thing. But I think for our listeners, it enhances our capability and also our options in terms of discovering who we are, why we are the way we are, and how we can perhaps change by looking deeper into the toolkit of our past lives and discovering things that we may not have thought were possible.
Okay, Neil, and we've got some callers, so let's move on to them, if that's all right.
That's good.
Okay. 856 is our first. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's this?
Gwendolyn.
Oh, hi, Gwendolyn. I just looked at your name. G-W-E-N-D-O-L-Y-N.
Yes.
Yeah. Gwendolyn, what's your birth date?
6/26/69.
Okay. And what's your question?
I'd like to know if you have any messages for the twins out here, because it has taken me forever to find you two. And I know that I've been united with a twin. And I just wanted to know what advice you have for all of us out here who are now on this path and have been in our awakening as we're moving forward. Because everything that you're talking about today is another indicator that everything that we've been hearing in our immediate spiritual groups, wherever we are right now, it's all the same, and I don't think people can ignore that too much longer.
Yes, definitely, and thank you for the feedback. We really appreciate that, Gwendolyn. Do you have a birth date of your partner, just for curiosity's sake?
10/14/68.
16/14, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, we equal each other out is what I've come to learn. And the pillars come down in the year of birth is where it ends up.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, you're both a three.
Yeah.
Your three is, Gwendolyn, is a compounded three derived by 39-12-3, which means that your past lives go deeper, in effect, than your partner. But the number systems are the same. You're both a three, which equates to a six. Now, you have three sixes. Now, your master number is three, and you have three sixes in your own birth date, which leads to an 18, which leads to a nine, which is your last number in your birth date. And you're 46 years old, which is absolutely part of the energy between your day two and six. Because, you know, the difference between 2 and 6 is 4. So you have a 4, 6 neatly tucked in there. And 46, basically your energy field is one in which you're equating at this point the matters of the heart to the matters of the third eye, the cosmic mind. And this is an ideal time for you to be asking this question in relation to your partner, because when we look at that sixth element, not only does your partner have a six in his year, but his first four numbers add up to six because it's 114. And so you've got this common, beautiful common energy going on that's quite interesting. Don't forget, in being 46, we look at the fire numbers in your birth date respectively, and your his four with your six equates to your age now, and the numbers left over, the 1 and the 2, respectively speaking, of course, is the 12 that is part of your karma, 39, 12, 3. So these numbers, you know, we juggle these numbers around. Don't forget the three sixes in your number 18, and your partner's, his first and last numbers are 1 and 8. Okay, so this is getting a little bit numerically confusing, perhaps, but maybe not. To me, it's
clear. I've been following them for so long that I was so led to have you kind of sort them out, in a sense.
Yeah. It's a beautiful union. You've experienced on this planet with this partner a beautiful reunion of soul.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
The idea of twin soul is that some of us meet our partners, and we say to our partner, we need to use this earthly stage in order to be reborn in the cosmic realm. When we die, we need to be reborn, like birth, like on the earth, but we need to be reborn on the astral realm, so that when we both die, we are born together as twin souls in the next stage. A lot of that energy is conducted in a very wonderful, imaginative way, in the way that we formulate our energies, which isn't to say that two souls, upon entering the earth, didn't decide to come down and meet on the earth again and graduate to a higher twin flame position, as opposed to twin flames that are coming down.
Descending the astral realm as twin souls from the astral realm. So you can be reborn as twin souls.
You can be reborn.
And the codes will reflect whether it's going to be a rebirth or whether it's an astral connection from the start.
That's right. The fascinating thing about twin souls descending is that, why are they coming back to the planet that they're twin souls and they're on their astral plane? They're coming back to the planet not to experience a twin soul connection, like, oh, we like the same ice cream. Oh, we go to the same movie. They're coming down to experience the earthly planet on a spiritual level together. So they usually, as a couple, produce something of high spiritual merit. They have a wonderful attitude of understanding the universe. And as a couple, they educate the planet in such a way that there's this miraculous communication and awareness and knowledge that they share with the world. And they do great works, maybe on a small stage, but it's still great in terms of the realm that they're working in.
So, in terms of the spiritual impact they're having.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's the unconditional love that has been lost. So it was so lost here. We did free will, and we really screwed it up down here. And I just know that this unconditional love mission is just, you can't do it any other way. You can't.
Gwendolyn, I was going to ask you, have you read our article that Neil and I wrote on twin souls?
No, I haven't yet. I really did not want to go any further after I was led to find you, to go any further, because I didn't want any preconceptions in my own mind and or in his. I wanted to let it unfold as this is how our whole journey has been. Nothing that I have found and or been led to has ever been before us already knowing, figuring it out, and feeling it first. So I really didn't want to break that.
Sure, understandable. Well, it's available. We do have it, I think, in our notes section, but we've also posted it published on InnerSoulCafe.com. But It's a preliminary article on the facets that make twin souls, and it's comprehensive in that preliminary format for sure.
Yeah.
But we suggest you read it, or I can email it to you. But we're going to be doing another show. Gosh, we've got a lot of callers. We're going to be doing a show on that topic. We've done shows in the past. You can look in the archives, but I think we're going to revisit it soon.
We're going to before we leave, Gwendolyn, I want to say one thing to you. Remember, your month and your day adds up to an 8.
Yes.
That's 6-8. 6-8. That's the year that your partner was born. You've got some wonderful things to explore. And as far as unconditional love is concerned, I term that as love with awareness. Love with astute awareness. That's unconditional
astute
love.
Astute and acute.
Yeah.
Yes. And I am so happy to share this with you guys. Like, I have waited forever. I call it the universe finally led me to my home base, which is both of you, and I couldn't be more honored. I am so flabbergasted some days. And he always says, why are you surprised at anything anymore? And it's because the awe, the unfolding, it is just total awe. It is so beautiful. And I so wish it for everyone, honest to goodness. Like, I love you both. Thank you for all you do. I am so happy to finally found you.
Thank you so much, Gwendolyn. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you're always welcome to call us back.
Will do. Thank you so much. Please help some others out there, because I believe that everything I needed today has been affirmed, confirmed. Thank you. Namaste.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gwendolyn. Thank you so much for that. All right. So lots of callers here, Neil. Let's get on to our next. 313, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Irwin.
Irwin, is that with an I or an E?
With an E.
With an E?
Yes.
Welcome. And Irwin, where are you calling from? What's your birth date?
Birth date is 3/28/62. I'm calling from Detroit.
All right. 3/4/5/13. I was looking at something about Detroit the other day. I don't remember what it was. But funny. Okay, we don't get a lot of Michigan callers.
Okay.
13, 20, but you're welcome. 31/4. What's your question, Irwin?
I just wanted to know what you see for me regarding health and relationships.
Health and relationships.
Okay.
31/4, right?
Yeah, 31/4. And right now, 53 years old.
53.
You know, Irwin... Irwin's a fascinating name. Yeah, there's something behind an Irwin. Sometimes, somewhere in the midst of the psyche of the name, is a scientist, is a person who's involved in science. But you know, science can be science of the stars, science of the planet, science of the body, even science of relationship. They're deep thinkers, and I think you are a deep thinker, Irwin. I think that you have. Whether you've expressed it or touched into it or not, you have a very probing, analytical mind, and one that is somewhat objective. That isn't to say that, you know, we all have a subjective side, but actually, I think you hold these elements. And if you haven't found them yet at the age of 53, I hope I've tapped into something about your awareness that would equate to that. I think you have a wonderful concept of the human kingdom, the animal kingdom, you know, and I would encourage if you're thinking or feeling that, but you haven't expressed it or probed it deeply, do so. And if you have, then it's just simply validating. I'm a little bit concerned about the issues of your heart. Is there any heart problems in the family?
My dad, he passed. He had a heart attack. But I didn't know about any ongoing heart issues. And
yeah.
I don't know that I have any, but.
No, you probably, you know, your dad, Irwin, having succumbed to a heart condition, having a heart attack, is probably what I'm tapping into. So
not only that, his name was the same, and he has the same birthday just 28 years early.
What was his birth date year?
34.
34. Okay, let's add that up. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
He's a
33. 33 equals
yeah.
3, not
mm-hmm.
a 33.
So your master numbers together equate to his birth year.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I feel, you know, what's interesting, Irwin, in this reading, I'm feeling him reaching out to you.
Gosh,
now, I don't know why. Was there any divorce in the family?
He and my mother were separated, but they never divorced.
Yeah.
The separation is probably the vibe I'm getting. So there's a little bit of that going on, I feel. You know, what I'm getting from this reading is the impact of his connection. Why he's connecting to you, maybe he left something undone. Maybe he's still concerned about you from the other side. Maybe it was not a, there maybe there wasn't a role that he fulfilled for you. I'm not sure, but sometimes when I get spirits from the other side reaching out to me like this, there's something unfulfilled, something that's annoying them.
Okay.
Are you a single man right now?
No, I'm married.
You're married?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have children?
I have two children.
And is the marriage good? Are the children good? Everything good?
Children's good. The marriage has some issues.
Okay, so if we look there, Erwin, there may be, as we're tracking through this and trying to investigate things, there may be something connected to that which ultimately would lead to some formation of an answer for you. It could be that it's conditional. What's happening, or contingent, what's happening in your marriage with your wife may have some impact on your health. I don't know if I'm getting a strong impact on your immediate health, but what I'm getting is an investigation that there might be some lingering early problems that are going on that haven't manifested, or do they need to be, into anything full-blown. But there's something about that. Have you ever had any shortness of breath throughout your life? Anything?
No.
Nothing with the breath. How about in your family?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Well, then I'm probably getting, Erwin.
Oh, yeah, my mother has asthma, so yeah.
Ah. Well, your mother has asthma. Then I'm going to subtract from what I was about to say and lead myself into the aspect of mother energy. What I'm getting into your zone is something more, it's unfolded more into the psychology of your energy. So
okay.
I'm getting into a deeper zone of energy, but what I'm feeling is that in the exploration of that psychology, there's an answer. There's something that you're about to experience that's going to be kind of mind-blowing and mind-changing. You know, your master number is 4, you're going to be having a major energy division in about 3 years. There's going to be a big change going on in you. So you're on a journey, Erwin. In the next 3 years, you're preparing for a tremendous change. That's what I think is going to happen. But we don't have time to go into any more detail because of our other callers, but I hope this has opened up some curious room for you to maybe explore later.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Erwin, thank you so much for your call. And Erwin can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook and on Twitter. We'd love it if you did. All right, let's bring on 303.
Hi
there.
Hi.
This
is Randy.
With an I?
Yep, with an I.
Okay. Have we spoken with you before, Randy? I'm trying to remember.
Excuse me?
Hi, have we spoken with you before? I remember your name, I think. What's your birthday again? I don't remember that.
It's 2/15/71.
All right. And what's going on today, Randy? Where? What's your location, too, please?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
So
I'm experiencing a lot of changes
in regards to I need to move, and I'm looking for another job with more money. I'm just wondering what you're seeing around about that.
Okay. Job and money. And she is. You are 44.
My moving and my job.
Right. But you just turned 44, correct?
45.
45?
Yeah.
45. Sorry.
You want to know about moving? You want to know about moving and money, moving and money. Well,
yeah.
To go to the attitude of moving and money, let me ask you something. In 1997, what was going on? 1997, you're 26 years old.
26. You know that you always pick that up. It's very interesting. Every time I say that's when my mom, for some reason, you keep going back to that. That's my mom. My mom was sick.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7.
Your mom was what?
My mom was sick.
Sick. Well, the reason
yeah.
I go back to that, Randy, is I guess when I'm talking to you, you know, I kind of wipe my memory banks here. And I'm going, I guess for somebody like you, I keep going back to, it's your karmic change. And we have a mother of sick. So what that means is that you taking care of the house, you becoming an assertive person. So what I'm seeing in the element of that time zone is that you're about to take charge of something. So you, I think you're about to make a move. You're about to make a change.
Yeah, definitely. I'm doing some kind of change. I know. I hope it's a good thing because I'm really. I've been having really a lot of anxiety. I had this dream that I lost all my teeth. That's an anxiety dream. I'm nervous about these changes.
Well, you see, yeah, but you see, when you have a, when adults have a dream that they lost all their teeth, they're going back to infancy. They're going back to babyhood when they have no teeth and they're suckling and all that kind of thing, as opposed to other interpretations. You're getting older, you're losing your teeth, you're losing your ability to chew, to have control. There's something wrong with the oral, the fifth chakra, something like that. But I have a feeling you're going back to readjust something because the anxiety you're having is anxiety separation, meaning that you're just afraid to leave what is familiar to you because you're kind of uncertain about the unknown. And what I'm saying is that in an energy like yours, Randy, you have to create the unknown with confidence. So you have to have the confidence that where you're going, and I feel that you're about to make a change, don't equate it with anxiety, fear, unknown variables that cause you to feel like a baby, to feel like you're going to lose control over your speech, communication. You've got to get past that because there's something in there probably that's causing you to reach back and connect to an old fear you had. Was there a distance between you and your mother, for instance, you and your father? Was there anxiety or distance separation in your past with either one of them?
My mom and I, like, we were very close, but we bickered a lot. But like, she was my world. So I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
my dad,
when
my mom passed away, my dad and I actually got really we got closer.
Yeah, your mom passed away. So your mom passed away at a relatively early stage of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think some of the conditions are going on. Did you go on to college? Did you have any form of college education?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were you ever interested in even an inkling of psychology?
Yeah, I'm a social worker.
Yeah. So what I'm getting, we're getting some validations here. So all I can tell you because of the brevity of our readings, that there's a connection being made. You're going to be making a change. You're going to be making a move. It's going to be an exciting time for you, and you've got to work on the premise that the move is going to be healthy and it's conducive to your general attitude of moving through the planet and finding your fate, your destiny. Okay,
so you see that you see everything, all the changes as I'm going to be. It's not going to be devastating. It's going to be something positive.
Yeah, positive. You know, your fear factor could disrupt things, but eliminate the fear. Yeah.
Okay, and
okay,
you do see me getting another job also.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. I do see that, but you know, we're getting into more details than we can afford for the because we have so many callers, but yes.
Okay, Randy, thanks for your call. Interesting about her master number, it's broken up in her karmic side, 215.
Yeah.
So that's exactly the issues she's calling about, job and relationships.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, okay, let's bring on 805. Hello. 805, are you there? Okay. Perhaps they're just listening. I just hear heavy breathing. Okay. All right. Let us bring on our lovely Nathaniel. Nathaniel, hello.
Hey, hi, it's Nathaniel.
Yes, Nathaniel.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty
How
good.
How are you? Good. Can you talk right into your receiver? Because you're sounding very faded.
All right.
And just for our listeners, this is the famous Nathaniel Hawthorne who wrote The Scarlet Letter. We're glad to have you on the show.
I thought it was Nathan of Nathan's Hot Dogs.
No, that's Nathan's Hale of...
Okay, sorry, hey, we're teasing you, Nathaniel.
That's all right.
You sound thrilled. 5157 is the birthday. He's a 28101. What's going on?
Well, I'm just here. I don't know if you have any messages regarding a car or a move or maybe a job. I don't know what to say.
Well, the in that order, the thing that I get first is a car. I see a car coming.
Is it driving itself? Self-driving vehicle.
Yeah. No, I see a car, Nathaniel.
I test drove a Prius and offered $3,000 on it, and they countered at $4,000. It's a 05. It's got 169,000. They said that I didn't do a Carfax, but they said they replaced the batteries. But I don't know if I've got a feeling that it's a lemon. A lot of people don't like the place.
About 169,000 miles.
No. Well, you have your blue book. Go to the blue book and let that be your gauge. Did you do that?
Well, they have another one with 210,000 miles. And, you know, so I don't know.
What kind of dealership was this? Is it like
It's called Nexpan in Barstow. And they do really high, do like people that can't keep buy a car and kind of things like that.
Well, they also find suckers. The thing to do, Nathaniel, be scientific about it. Look at the blue book value, equate the year to the mileage they have. You can almost deduce how many miles a year it's been driven, and you get an idea of what the car's been through and what they're trying to soak you with. Use that as your guideline more than what they're feeding you. You know, everybody, buyer beware. They can tell you anything. An old lady bought it and she only took it to the store. But it doesn't matter what they say. Look at the blue book value. Look how many miles it has, what the year is, and offer to take it to a mechanic if you can afford one or you know one, to have it checked out first. And if they don't agree to that, and they can't be challenged.
Do you think the Carfax you pay like $35 for, I guess? Have you heard about the Carfax?
Yeah, I know about that, and they give you a full report of the car, but I thought their Carfax was involved in some deceptive practices that I don't know if that is still a problem, but I remember some kind of lawsuit with Carfax that they weren't really accurately representing the cars. But it's something you could do. I would look into it, definitely, Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you got to get to first, Nathaniel, but don't be taken in by anyone's language. Go to the blue book, go to the mileage, and if you can, go to a mechanic.
Yeah, there's a I just did a little search for you. There's a $350 million antitrust lawsuit that was filed in 2013, that it was the litigants, I think there were more added to the suit, so it became a higher. I don't know. I would do a little more research on the Carfax thing.
Thanks for that info. My brother really likes the Carfax idea, so I might mention that to him. But
sometimes in light of this type of lawsuit, they clean up their act. So that may be a possibility, too. This was in 2014. I don't know, what the results of the lawsuit were. If it's done, I doubt it is.
I would say they might clean up their act, but if they came to the business with dirty hands, find somebody else.
Okay.
Hey,
keep us posted as always.
Hey, thanks again. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye bye. All righty. 561. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, y'all. Hi, Kristen. It's Stacy. Remember me? Florida.
Yes, Stacy. 1226
67. Yeah.
How's it going? How's the job search?
I'm glad you remembered. I'm so happy that you remembered. All I was offering was one
Stacey, Stacey, you're breaking up. Like, we can't understand anything. Can you get to a place where there's a little better reception?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I mean, there's some outside noise, but it's okay. So go back to the beginning for us.
Okay, all I was offered by one other agency was a one-day-a-week assignment that was kind of far, and when, you know, they told me the job was something and it wasn't, because I've been trying to, everywhere, trying to get work, and even with the temp agency that had placed me at the other thing I was at for 4 months. And I apply everywhere. I went on like 4 interviews within a week, and nothing is happening. So I just wonder, like, when I will have another opportunity to have another assignment. Is it going to be an assignment or something on my own? Because I'm diligently trying, and I feel like nothing's happening, and it's really frustrating.
Right. And Stacey, do you do clerical? Is it clerical work that you do? Accounting? I can't remember.
Yes, it's clerical, administrative, office.
Okay. And Neil, I just want to remind you that she was let go from a contract job, and she didn't know why. So that was the last call she made to us. She was just, the contract ended.
I was there
suddenly
after 4 months, and I'm kind of upset. And you know, and I still don't know why, and I asked the agency, and they never gave me closure as to why. They said they don't know, my assignment is just over. And I said, well,
okay.
I was there every day. I never called.
Well, you know, Stacey, I've got to go back. You know, these are quick readings, and so I'm trying. These are quick readings, and so I'm trying
to
fix something with a lot of depth in my mind. Your first 4 numbers add up to an 11, and that's a problem that you've already come into the earth with. Now, in your family dynamic, any problems with mom and dad, divorces, dissension?
My father's been gone for 5 years. They didn't have a good marriage at all. Actually, it was a pretty bad marriage.
Yeah. This, you know, in my mind, that dynamic that you came into the earth with, your father died 5 years ago, you were approximately 43, they didn't have a good marriage. This is the root issue of why even the company just let you go without explanation. You come into a world where whatever, quote, family you join with, there's going to be some internal problem where the communication breaks down, relationships are split, and there's no really good rational explanation for it, because you're a good person doing your job, and you're just like thrown, like stabbed in the back while you're working. So
exactly. And do you think those other 2 gals are going to last there at the company I was let go from?
What?
She's asking if 2 of the people are going to last. Is that what you're saying? 2 of the other employees are going to last?
Yeah.
And I'll let Neil answer that, but I remember in the last reading, too, that part of the advice in terms of getting new work was to, and this is funny, it's on subject today, about, you know, it's hard not to dwell on these types of situations, especially when you're left in wonderment why this type of breakup occurred. But I remember Neil specifically saying, don't look back, go forward, because this will hamper your future job possibilities. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
I never got a verbal warning or anything, and I was just let go. And I just want to try to put it behind me. If I had another job, it would kind of get closure.
Sure.
And so far, it's been a month, you know, a month without an income.
Okay.
And
well, let me break this down into 3 quick parts. One is that when you have a company that's internally evil or dark, then anyone can get screwed over. If you have a company that is their energy field is a little bit different for every person. Your karma with this company is not the same maybe as a coworker. So that's why they may stay and you may leave. So those are the two dynamics, quick dynamics
you
about companies
something?
And their...
The gal that was hired 2 months after me, she has an arrest record for an assault. You imagine that? I mean, I just don't get it. And
she's saying that the
I
other
guess,
temp has an arrest record.
Oh.
For some reason, Neil's having a hard time hearing you. I mean, that's all.
Well, you got to get out of what you've got to do, Stacey, is get out of the dynamic of your history. You've got to remove the elements of what you've been historically connected to throughout your lifetime, and that means re-envisioning your psyche, creating a new attitude about yourself, giving yourself different statements, positive statements, and I think if you do that, you'll find work within 2 weeks.
And it's funny, I don't know if Stacey caught, did you listen to the beginning of the show, Stacey?
Oh, no, I just called just like, I guess, 15, 20 minutes ago.
Well, you know, I encourage you to go back into the archives and listen because this is fitting in with our topic of the day, which is regarding therapy and whether it gets rid of karma and how to either, you know, safely examine the past and move forward or, you know, just move forward, period. And I think what's being suggested here is that you've got to get out of this framework of thinking and dwelling on the job so something new can come in. That's probably the first thing. Did you take, lastly, before we take our next caller, we have to call her from 203, Neil, but before we take that call, did you accept the one-day-a-week job or no? You're just not working?
No, I did that. I did that, and they haven't given me anything since. And I said, you know, I can just, you know, I just said I'm capable of more. You know, it's just a one-day thing.
Is there unemployment benefits that you can get?
I can't collect it. I can't apply until April. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But that doesn't even pay enough. I want to work. I don't want to just sit and collect unemployment.
Sure. No, I definitely understand that. And do you have savings to get you through the month in case you don't get anything?
It's very hard. Barely going through it. That's why I'm very nervous. That's why I'm asking, do you think I'm going to get a job soon or do you think I have to rely on filing for unemployment? I don't know what I'm going to do.
No. Okay. I don't think you have to file for unemployment. I think you can get a job. I think what you've got to do, and this may sound a little bit silly to you, but what you've got to do is get out of your panic zone. You got to get out of that. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you've got to start saying to yourself, Stacey, I mm-hmm. am changing my life. I'm changing mm-hmm. my dynamic. I'm changing mm-hmm. who I am, what I've experienced. I'm not a victim. Mm-hmm. I'm not helpless. You've got to start mm-hmm. giving yourself that vibration. Your body needs that nourishment. And if you give yourself that through your own verbal dialogue, mm-hmm. you're going to put out a different dialogue and attract a different kind of employment situation.
Yeah, because I said, is it because I didn't go for a Friday happy hour at gentlemen's clubs? I mean, you know, that's what they did for happy hour, and I don't hang out at gentlemen's clubs. I mean, does that mean I wasn't a team player?
Yeah, well, we're not going there. I just want you to center yourself, not at gentlemen's club, but to center yourself in your own room, give yourself these platitudes, these energies, these attitudes, and believe in them, internalize them, and you'll have work within 2 weeks.
I
hope so.
Okay, and we'll put out energy for you.
I really appreciate it. I heard the last call when I heard with the other one, panicking, anxiety over job, and I was amazed you picked up on her job and everything, and then hearing the other guy about buying a car with that kind of mileage. And I'm going to listen to the whole archive about karma and karma.
Perfect.
You know, because you think and I'll keep you posted. I really thank
Please
you
do.
Both, and I wish you both a happy Easter. Thank
happy
you
Easter.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
okay,
you.
Let us know
Thanks.
What happens. You're welcome. Okay, to the last caller, Neil, of the day, 203.
Hi.
Good morning. Hi,
good morning. This is Pat. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Good, Jerry. I'm good. How are you, too?
The journey continues. I'm the one that had CNA jobs, live-in. I have finally let go of a live-in situation. I'm taking an apartment. I've never paid this much rent. I'm hoping to get part-time CNA work and also start my animal portrait painting business. I'm hoping that I can not only manage the finances, but make extra.
So this is good, though. I mean, a different living situation, considering you've been living in other people's homes. Now you're going to be on your own, which I think is nice. Can we get your birth date again? I remember you're 28/10/1, I think.
7/12/53. Can I say one more thing?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I'm going back on disability because I'm going to lose if I pay rent and then have to, because I'm going to lose disability soon because I've been working. That means I'm going to have to pay two insurances. I'm just not going to be able to afford it. So I'm a little disappointed about going back on disability, but it's what I need to do to survive. And I hope because of that, I can only make so much. So I can only work so many hours at CNA work and then hopefully do extra work on the side with the portrait painting business. Do you see this being successful?
I see it not only being successful, but I think it's your job and your mission to actualize it. So, yeah, it's a good program. You work limited hours in the CNA capacity, and you do your pet portrait things through trade shows or flea markets, online, word of mouth, supermarkets. You know, and you have an adjustable adjustable what it costs to do the paintings. You know, if somebody can't afford that much,
you mean a sliding scale.
A sliding scale.
Yeah.
I mean, I see you getting along okay. You're 62 years old. Your master number is 1 by 28/10/1. You're 62. I kind of feel that things are can go in your shape. The journey path is that you're on this journey to actualize this notion that I'm giving you. So it's already written on your game board to go there, find the square, land on it, actualize it. So I see you being okay. I see it being okay. And, you know, just equate the balance between the two job opportunities and set your price for paintings accordingly.
Okay. Neil, my life, the journey has been hell. This is like a huge leap of faith and, you know, big choices. And I'm glad to hear what you're saying because I'm really counting on a huge shift. I've got to, you know, change the karma, change everything. And
you've got great numbers for a huge shift. It's in your destiny to accomplish this. And both Chris and I will be rooting for you and keeping you in our thoughts and prayers.
Okay, Pat, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the calls all along and your support. Thank you. God bless.
You're welcome. Keep us posted. Okay, we're out of time, and we are back on the air on Friday. Area code 262, I'm sorry, we do have to close the show for the day, but we will be happy to accept your call on Friday. We're back on the air at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone.